It is time for Student Phenology, and funding for Student Phenology is provided in part by the Minnesota Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund. Phenology talkbacks are produced by our own Charlie Mitchell. And our first report comes from Charlie near Marine on St. Croix.
Hello, this is Charlie reporting from Marine on St. Croix. I found a sheltered south-facing area where hepatica, leatherwood, and Siberian squill were beginning to bloom on March 31st. In the same area, ginger plants were just beginning to emerge. In the rest of my area, though, nothing is blooming yet. The maple sap is running, and the dawn chorus feels like it's getting louder by the day. There's a pair of red-shouldered hawks that are being very active near their nest, and one very dexterous red squirrel has figured out how to get suet out of our supposedly squirrel-proof suet feeder. And from looking at her little belly as she's dangling down getting suet, we suspect that she's a lactating female, so I think there are babies nearby. On the St. Croix River, we saw trumpeter swans, Canada geese, a great blue heron, and a pair of red-tailed hawks. We heard many red-winged blackbirds, and we think we heard a song sparrow. There are still patches of snow on the ground, but they're melting away quickly. This is Charlie Mitchell, going hither and thither on the St. Croix River.
Hither and thither. All right, well, keep that up. Hepaticas, leatherwood, squirrels dominating, squirrels figuring out your paltry attempt at keeping them out of the feeders. They are not to be denied. Squirrels are absolutely the smartest little critters on earth, it seems. If you put them a challenge, they will figure it out. And it's always kind of fun, actually, to see how they do figure it out. The nice thing about squirrels, and I have had my times with squirrels over the years, but I've come to have peace with them. I realize that the red squirrels come to the feeder and eat seeds. That's all they do. The chipmunks come to the feeder and they stuff their faces with seeds and they steal off with as many seeds as they can get away with. And they're, you know, they're like hoarding seeds. So the chipmunk really is not in the same ballpark for me as the red squirrel. Now, the flying squirrel comes at night and helps itself to the seeds. The problem that I have with the flying squirrel is that he likes to live in my attic, and his hours of operation are the hours where I am trying to shut my eyes and go to sleep. So I'm not very fond of the flying squirrels. They're gorgeous. They're tame. Everything about them says like me. And I even had one as a pet when I was a kid. So I do have a soft spot for flying squirrels, but the more I learn about their habits, the less I like them. The red squirrels turn out to be the ones that are probably, despite their cleverness, they are probably the ones that are the least damaging in terms of how much food they take. Our next report comes from Chad Caddett's class at Little Falls Middle School. I had the pleasure of visiting their classroom, and I met several of the students who are responsible for phenology, and had the joy of sitting in the classroom while Mr. Caddett's worked with his seventh grade students. And it was absolutely the most entertaining classroom that I've ever been in. And if I were a student, I could see why phenology would be an interest to them. And Mr. Caddett's is not only an accomplished artist, but he's an accomplished teacher as well. And he has a great feel for kids. So, with no further ado, here is our report from Chad Caddett's class.
This is Brock and Axel reporting from Mr. Caddett's class in Little Falls Middle School. This is our phenology report for the week of March 31st.
There was a definite slowdown in activity as the weather changed in the past few weeks to colder temperatures and eventually a snowstorm.
The forest floor was covered with fallen aspen catkins before disappearing under a blanket of snow.
We had a student find an adult caddisfly on their car window. We are more familiar with the larva of the caddisfly that we find in the rivers and ponds, but it was cool to see an adult.
We continue to see more and more sandhill cranes, but not in large numbers.
We have noticed a lot of bald eagles, most commonly feeding on roadkill deer in the ditches.
Several trees are covered in sap running down the trunks, and the cold weather caused the formation of sapsicles on the branches.
Herring gulls and ring-billed gulls have been spotted, and ducks, geese, and swans are filling up any open water.
A large group of hibernating sow bugs were discovered in a rotten log.
A queen paper wasp emerged from hibernation and was in a classmate's garage.
A merlin, which is a small falcon, was identified on the Merlin Bird app.
We were surprised to see pocket gopher mounds appear prior to the snowfall.
Hazel catkins and speckled alder catkins and cones are very evident in the woods and wet areas.
That is our report for this week. Until next week, keep exploring, keep discovering, and keep connecting with the great outdoors.
Thank you, Brock and Axel. Nice report. Boy, lots of things going on down there, and they just covered it all. I mean, the fact that they were talking about aspen catkins that had fallen off of the trees, that's a note that I make every year. And I never fail to note when the aspen catkins topple out of the aspens. Here in Grand Rapids, it's not happening yet, but it will. And I will let you know when it does for sure. Sandhill cranes, bald eagles, lots of those coming north, sapsicles, a merlin, pocket gophers, just a whole host of things that are happening down there and will soon be happening up here. I'm very curious to find out how the timing in Little Falls relates to the timing that I see maybe from Northfield and the timing that I see in Grand Rapids. It's really curious to see how different they are. You know, Brainerd over the years is about 4 days ahead of Grand Rapids, and Virginia up in the Iron Range is about 4 days behind Grand Rapids in terms of emerging flowers and leaves coming out on trees and that sort of thing. So both Brainerd and Virginia, I have had a chance to do some close examination over a long period of time of some data sets that were kept by teachers in both of those cities. And it turns out that Brainerd is, you know, 4 days ahead. And I suspect that Little Falls is probably 2 days or 3 days ahead of Brainerd. We will find out as we listen and watch. Finally, Charlie had gone through our Season Watch Facebook group and picked out some notes. She said over the past week, Debbie Center from Nevis has reported hundreds of mergansers and a solitary great blue heron bear prowling in her yard. She caught a hilarious video of a romp of otters poking their heads up through slushy ice. She called it a real-life game of whack-a-mole, trying to get them all in the frame at one time. And Joel Rosen in Carlton County has finally made maple sap running in his trees after a long wait. And Dallas Hudson is still trying to figure out how to figure out whether or not ice in, ice out date. Ice out date. His lake, like mine, was open for a while and then froze back over and is still frozen as of yesterday. Dallas also reported tundra swans flying through. Tundra swans and trumpeter swans, both big white birds. The tundra swan generally travels in large flocks, and you will see 30 to 50 of them. A big flock of trumpeter swans might be 8 or 10. And the tundra swans are coming through following open water, and they will eventually settle into the Arctic, and some will fly as far as Siberia in order to nest. And then they will return and come back through here in the fall. But you will not see tundra swans any other time of the year. Check them out if you get a chance. They'll be in your neighborhood.